morning.
We're going to read a few verses and then get into the message, but turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Chapter 18 and verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Chapter 19 and verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Then chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And then if you would, look over at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I want to preach this morning a message entitled Models of Motherhood. In each of the texts that we just read, the value and the importance of godly women are extolled. And we must never underestimate the power, the influence of a godly wife and mother in the home. A virtuous woman who is committed to her husband and children is one of the greatest privileges a home may be blessed with. In fact, if we would get back to this in the United States of America, where you have a mom and a dad raising their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, I really believe it'd solve a lot of the problems that we have in society. Mothers are soul molders, value shapers, character constructors, who in a large degree determine the moral fabric of society. The influence of a godly mother is precious and powerful. And we do need godly women in America. In a day when so many children are literally being raised without any parental guidance or discipline, they're calling for government daycare to start kids at 2 years old. Kids need their mom. They need their mom. Her hugs, her kisses, her love, her teaching, her instruction. They need that a lot more than any government agency. All that God would raise up a generation of virtuous women who will be committed to the principles of Scripture and the practice of godliness. We need more models of motherhood who are willing to follow the example that we find in the Scriptures. What I'm going to do today is give you kind of a scan of some famous mothers in the Bible. We'll start off with one everybody knows. Everybody knows the mother of Moses, right? You know what her name is, Gavin? What? You don't know? Her name was Jochebed. Now, that may be the Buffalo Creek pronunciation. But turn over with me to Exodus chapter 2. That was a trick question, Gavin. Don't feel too bad. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Jochebed is... who was the mother of Moses, is a model of protection. Now, if you understand the setting here, because Israel was multiplying in Egypt, the Pharaoh at that time, basically the king of Egypt, had ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill all the male Israelites at birth. But in chapter 1, you find that they did not obey the king's decree. And they let them live. I find it so instructive that Jochebed understood how important it was to protect her newborn son. It was the responsibility of the mothers in that day to protect their children from the wrath of Pharaoh. And Jochebed devised an ingenious plan to protect the life of Moses, the first great leader and lawgiver in Israel. Isn't it interesting that she put him in an ark? She did it by faith. She put him down by the river's edge. And lo and behold, God brought Pharaoh's daughter right to where he was, found him. Moses' sister said, "Hey." And Pharaoh's daughter said, "I need somebody to nurse this child." "Well, I know somebody that'll do it." And the sister, and God worked it all miraculously out. Now, it's interesting to me that God chose the vehicle here of protection as the ark. By faith, she put her child in this ark, placed it in the river. She did that by faith. You know what? The people in the days of Noah, how were they saved? By faith, they got on the ark. The ark, of course, that ark represented safety only in Jesus Christ. And the greatest protection a mother can afford her children is to direct them to the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ, where His blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection protects them from the wrath of God. And Jochebed, by faith, put Moses there in the ark of the bulrushes. And I believe that most mothers have a strong maternal instinct to protect their children from harm, from harm's way. And they'll literally do anything to keep them out of harm's way. Now, many mothers will protect their children from physical harm. But we also need mothers who are committed to protecting their children from the influence of sin and the world and the devil. It's real. I mean, this old world is trying to eat kids up. They are facing things that you and I wouldn't even have dreamed of, wouldn't even have thought of. We thought it was bad when we went to school and faced peer pressure. A lot of these kids face all kinds of things on every avenue of social media. We need to protect them from it. And we need to teach them. A good name is better, rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Determine, moms, to put your son or your daughter and pray and direct them to the only ark of safety, Jesus Christ. And then the truth of the Word of God. It serves as a great protection against the world and sin. You know, Jochebed is, her name is not mentioned, but her deed is mentioned in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. How grateful we ought to be for mothers who desire to protect their children. And then the second one is Hannah, the mother of Samuel, a model of devotion to God. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Today is the second Mother's Day that my mom is not here. I miss her. I've thought a lot about her the last several days. And I'm so grateful for her influence in my life. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Hannah had been barren for many years, and she desperately wanted a son. So she began to pray fervently that God would open her womb and give her a child, vowing that she would indeed devote him to the work of the Lord. Wow, what an amazing thing. A woman desiring a child so much that she prayed, she fasted, she sought the Lord and said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll devote him unto you. And when God blessed Hannah with a child, she was faithful to fulfill her vow. 1 Samuel 1 verse 22 says, But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. She was faithful to her vow. Look at verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Because of his mother's devotion and faithfulness to God, Samuel was consecrated to God. He was molded into a great leader in Israel's history. Look at 1 Samuel 2:26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. What could you ask more? That your son or your daughter be found in God's favor and have influence with men in a good way. Influence in society in a good way. This was Samuel. That's a description of his life. The dedication of his mother shone through in his life. He became a great leader. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. You know the story that, when I forget things, I always think of Joe Biden saying, you know the thing. You know the story here where Samuel was dedicated unto the Lord, but when the Lord called him, he didn't recognize it at first. And the third time, finally, Eli realized what was going on. He realized this was the call of God and the consecration of Samuel. And look at verse 19. In Samuel chapter 3, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Wow! Raising a son that would not let any of the word of God fall to the ground. You talk about a high ideal. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. He was recognized for his devotion, his consecration, his life, his character, demonstrated to others that he was a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Hannah's life was full of devotion and service to God. In chapter 1, we find she was a woman of earnest prayer and fervent praise in chapter 2. Her example of devotion was instilled within the heart of young Samuel, and that influence stuck with him throughout his entire life. Moms, you are making a difference when you dedicate your children to the Lord, when you teach them the ways of God, when you train them in the truth, that truth will never leave them. And then thirdly, I've only got 15, so I don't, Maria. Just cool your jets. Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, was a model of respect and discipline. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 17. What she modeled for her son was respect and discipline. And she had to overcome a lot of problems. I mean, think about this. She was a woman stolen by the king. Her husband, her first husband, had been Uriah the Hittite, and he was killed in battle at the king's direction. And now, and her first child with David died. Now with she gave birth to Solomon. And look with me at 1 Kings chapter 2. Let me get over there. Verse 17. Now this is when Solomon ascends to the throne. And his mother comes because a brother of Solomon was trying to usurp the throne, trying to take the place of Solomon, who David had ordered to be the next king. And she comes and asks her son in verse 16, "And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." And he said, "Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife." That was the last concubine of David, who took care of him in his dying days. And Adonijah is asking Bathsheba to do this for him, because she knew this would get him on the throne. And Bathsheba said, "Well, I will speak of for thee unto the king." Verse 19, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. Now I want you to notice the way that Solomon treated his mother. And Solomon rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. All right. Now think about this. Solomon's behavior when his mother came to speak to him shows that his mother had instilled within him a deep respect for authority. Even though he was a grown man, and the most powerful and wealthy man in all of Israel, we find him still following the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The way he treated his mother is noteworthy. He treated her with respect. A woman who fails to instill respect for authority through discipline and training will later be filled with shame, with heartache. We see it all through the Proverbs. Moms, you got to discipline those little monsters. Oh, come on, preacher. You're saying that about my baby? They're little sinners. I mean, I've raised three of them. And now I deal a lot with my grandchildren. I'm not your normal grandpa. Most grandpas and grandmas are, they let their grandkids get away with anything. I'm still Dr. Law. I don't let them get away with everything. But it's important, moms, that you correct your children when they are defiant, when they're disobedient. That's the negative part, but you also got to give them the positive part. Show them why from the Word of God. Why it's important. What the fifth commandment means. We're living in a day and age, and you can see it, where kids are being raised without any discipline whatsoever. They're being raised without any respect for authority. I mean, it's highlighted when you see these body cams of policemen the way that people talk to cops now. I mean, if my mom or dad, if my mother ever heard me say, talk like that to a cop, I would have been far more scared of her and what she was going to do. Because my mom didn't just spank me. She put a whooping on me, man, when I did wrong. And I believe it's important that children know that there are consequences. The Bible says this, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Chapter 15, verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son despiseth his mother. You know, the lowest character on earth is somebody that despises his mother. Proverbs 19, 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Proverbs 13, 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, which means many times. Yeah, they need to be corrected. Now, how do I know that Solomon was the product of discipline and instilling respect for his mom and dad and for authority? Well, it's reflected in the writings of Solomon, all through the book of Proverbs. I just quoted all those verses where God the Spirit inspired him to write the importance of discipline, godly discipline, and instruction concerning children. And it never stops. My kids are in their 30s. I know you don't. You think I don't look old enough to have kids in my 30s. What can I say? I'm teasing. This teasing. Look over here at Proverbs 23. You never stop teaching. Proverbs 23. And look at verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Parents, this is your attitude. Little Johnny, little Susie, you watch my life. You watch how I live and model it. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? It's a lot of pressure when you say to your kids, watch me. Do what I do. Go where I go. Live like I do. May God help us to put that kind of good stress upon our lives as we raise our children. The next one, and we've already read some verses, so I'm not going to go to Proverbs 31, but the virtuous woman was a model of diligence and hard work. The woman in Proverbs 31 worked hard. She displayed diligence in the way she managed her home. She was dedicated. She was committed to the needs of her family. And that is so helpful, to have a mom at home that cares about her kids. Make sure they're clean, well-fed, well-dressed, respectful. You know, it's a blessing to society when moms give them a model of a good work ethic. I mean, the way a stay-at-home mom has a lot to do. She doesn't sit around watching slop operas and eat bonbons all day. I mean, she's got work to do. And thank God for it. It's important that our young people see us as parents being diligent in what we do. That we care about our work and how we perform it. And we need to teach our kids and our grandkids how to work. And if you read Proverbs 31, a big portion of it is dedicated to the way that this woman worked on behalf of her family. And I believe there's a counterpart in the New Testament, Titus 2, verses 4 and 5, about the responsibility of mothers, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if you quote that verse today in modern society, they want to crucify you. Well, that's not the way it ought to. It's not the way it is today. This is 2021. Get with the times. I'll tell you, that's the best way. It's the best way in raising children and taking care of them. A godly mother. A mother's job is never done. So she has to be a woman of diligence. Her hard work and loving labor will later pay huge dividends. And a godly mother will instill that solid work ethic in her children. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Don't spoil your kids, moms. It's not worth it in the end. My mom and dad, I can't ever remember going up to them and say, hey, mom, can I have $20? She probably would have laughed at me. My mom taught me at a young age, you got to work for stuff. If you're going to get something, you got to work for it. You know who the mother of James and John was? This is a bonus question. Her name was Salome. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, she asked the Lord if she would give her sons an exalted place in the kingdom right next to the throne of Jesus. She was a model of success. And some may say that her request was selfish, but she wanted only the best for her sons. Who can find fault with that? What better place than serving the king in his kingdom? Salome knew what true success was all about: nearness to Christ and service in his kingdom. She regarded that as the pinnacle of success. And by the way, her two sons, James and John, are famous in the Bible for their service to God. Lastly, that brings a smile to every mother that's here today, doesn't it? Boy, Teresa, you don't have to smile that big. She always does that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 1, Eunice, the mother of Timothy, a model of teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Mom, you're the first teacher that your child has. Eunice had taught Timothy about sin, salvation, and service from early childhood. And I believe that she instilled within him a love for the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. When our kids forget all about their first pair of Nikes, hopefully they'll remember the principles of godliness and truth instilled in them by their parents. May God help us to consecrate ourselves afresh and anew to teaching our children in the way that they should go. Isn't this what's needed? Teaching, instructing, raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. He told Israel of old in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Mom, I am so glad that you came to church today. And kids of those moms, thank you for being here. I know it blesses the heart of your mother. And I pray that today we will be consecrated, committed, afresh and anew, to teach our young people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven. And I hope you know Him. And I pray that God will bless your homes with joy and thanksgiving and love as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.
I do want it to be noted that I finished before noon.